Elkcharm bolted upright in her bed. Two Smokes looked up from where he sat tending the fire over the pit of sweet-smelling biscuit root.
What is it?
She buried her head in her hands. Two Smokes stood, carefully maneuvering on his maimed leg so as not to disturb the sleepers. He settled himself on her bed, placing an arm around her shoulders.
Shh, here, come on now. This is old Two Smokes. And tell me what's wrong, a dream?
Elkcharm wiped at the tears flooding her eyes, nodding her head. She refused to look at him, suffering on her own.
Hush now. You're safe. You're here, and warm, and surrounded by people who love you. What was it? What was this terrible dream?
Little Dancer, he's dead.
Two Smokes started to say something, hugging her close, patting her. But his eyes caught the wolf effigy where it had been pecked into the sooty rock. Power had been at work this night. He could practically taste it in the air. And he'd felt the lurch, the same sort of wrenching as the night the wolf bundle had been desecrated. His heart skipped, for he could have sworn the wolf's eyes gleamed for that brief instance. And it looked like triumph. Heavy Beaver glared at the snow blowing out of the sky around his camp. Never since he'd first heard the stories had such a storm as this come so late to the plains. Never had he seen the buckwheat, the phlox, and aster frozen on their stalks. He contemplated the fate of the warriors he'd sent to scout the trail up Clear River, past the Red Wall and into Anita country. The snow should have been melting by now, the trails opening. Anita camps, lean from winter, should have been easy pickings for his young men. Not all of his youths had gone to scout Anita. Many had gone for spring buffalo, hoping to pick up fresh meat from the nursery herds, and perhaps waylay antelope at the same time. So far, a handful had come stumbling in, feet frozen, faces frostbitten and burned. The flesh had gone black on the ones he'd treated. The ability to feel ice in a living human limb appalled him. The ones who hadn't returned had left camp dressed lightly for the hunt, not wearing much in the way of clothing. Impassive, he stood before the storm, slitted eyes seeking the Buffalo Mountains and the people who resisted him. The drought had been stealing back on them, the rains ever more scarce. If he couldn't find new lands for his people to hunt, if he couldn't raid enough spoils from the Cuthair and White Crane and Fire Buffalo, then they might begin to question the vision he'd imparted to them.
Dreamers can be killed, but only dreamers with no imagination need worry.
Your soul could be mine now. You're on the verge of parting with your body, of turning ghost or rising to the star web. What is your wish, Little Dancer? Would you see your wife again? Would you leave your people to the False Dreamer's ways? Will you leave the wolf bundle to die? Why will you do this thing? Why will you ignore the cries of the spiral, of the circles, of your people?
In the haze, Little Dancer floated, enjoying a feeling of relief, aware that his suffering lay somewhere behind him, up beyond the haze of warmth that soothed his tired soul.
But it's so nice here. So nice.
What you feel is the world of death. Your soul balances on the edge.
A gentle surface, which appeared to be a giant human hand, stopped his descent, cradling him while the hazy warmth stirred around him like clouds over the peaks.
What happened? Where am I?
From out of the billowing warmth, the features of a man formed. His face gleamed radiantly, lit from within. Sparkling black eyes stared out from either side of a straight nose. Never had Little Dancer seen so beautiful a man. Never had he been so captivated by the power and empathy in a man's eyes.
Who are you?
I am the Wolf Dreamer, the one you call First Man. I chose, once, as you must do now, Only perhaps in those days, the choices were a little less difficult.
Why am I here?
You're dying, little dancer. Your body is freezing and your soul is drifting free.
The warm haze around him shifted for a moment, changing from featureless to wind-whipped snowflakes. Slightly below him, he could recognize the mounded lump of his body, snow-packed and already becoming one with the drift that formed about it.
So, you see, this choice is yours. Live, and you will have a short time with your elk charm.
The scene shifted, and Little Dancer stared down into the familiar depths of Hungry Bull's shelter, seeing Elk Charm in fitful sleep. He tried to imprint the memory of her delicate face, of the lines of soft cheek and firm jaw. The wealth of her long hair spilled over the hides, framing her intense beauty. He ached.
I'll give you what time I can. The spiral is coming full. I've kept Heavy Beaver from moving. I can keep your people safe for a while longer, give you more time. You're so young. But then, Clearwater resisted for a long time, too. She couldn't stomach the thought of Blood Bear touching her.
Blood Bear? My father?
You needed his strength, his indomitable courage, mindless and thoughtless though it might be. Oh, I've put a lot of thought into you and your life. You've been given everything I can give you. Except the will to do what needs to be done.
The will?
Exactly that. The wise one above, the creator, made the universe so. As it turns, the cycles of stars and worlds and insects and even grains of sand make their own way. But now, you must choose. Will you choose to live? Or will you die? If you live, I'll keep you until the very last. I'll let you have as much pleasure as I can. At the same time, my people, all of them, need you. Heavy Beaver has changed the spiral. Curious how powerful a single idea can be. How it can change the minds of so many until the very fabric of the universe ripples. You, however, can change it back. You can meet Heavy Beaver and prove him false. Doing so may put the spiral back the way it was. The last time, we lost the mammoth, and camel, and horse, and sloth. This time, I wouldn't lose the buffalo and antelope, and I wouldn't have the people go the way others are.
And if I choose to die?
That is your will. I can't lie to you, my friend. The way of death will be much easier. More pleasant to float off to the Starweb with Sageroot, Heron, Clearwater, Dancing Fox, and so many others. There, they sing and dance and hunt with other souls as they watch the universe in all its wonder.
And I will die with you.
Who was that?
The Wolf Bundle. Your fates are tied. Already its power is ebbing. If you decide to live, you will have to take the Wolf Bundle from Bloodbear. To do that, you will probably have to kill him. Are you stronger than your father? Do you have his strength?
I don't know.
If you decide to live, you will find out. That's another thing. I can't assure you of victory. Like rock is the foundation of Earth, so is will the foundation of the universe.
And if I choose to live, what will it cost me?
Everything you hold dear. Once you start on the trail of a true dreamer, you can't go back. White Calf told you the truth. You can't be both.
And if I die? What then? What happens to Elk Charm and my father? You've already told me the Wolf Bundle will die, and the buffalo too. What about the people I love?
A spirit can only see so much of the future, and not all will come to pass as we foresee. But I foresee them fleeing, finding a place to be safe on the shores of the Western Ocean.
Little Dancer hovered on Wolf Dreamer's hand, looking into those kind eyes. Memories slipped and slid through his mind. Heavy Beaver's arrogant smile lingered as the shaman walked forward, club raised to dash his brains out. White Calf's angry face formed for a moment before it faded into Elk Charm's anxious features. The spiral on the rock shelter wall before him seemed to pulse with life. Sageroot sat propped in the sun-bleached crook of a weather-stripped cottonwood. Flies walked on her face, rising to hover over her slit wrists and suck greedily of her blood. His mother's dead eyes burned with power, searing his very soul.
I'll live. Just give me as much time as you can.
It will hurt worse when it's time.
I know.
I will come for you. You will know, of course. But I'll meet you, like this, and we'll talk. I have some things to teach you. Wolf will save you. He'll take you to his den and warm your body. He'll go with you, guard you, keep you and your family safe for as long as I can allow. He's my promise to you.
Haze drifted down, spinning the wolf dreamer away. As if Little Dancer had jumped into a pool, his body rose, twisting slightly as it rocked. Around him, the comforting warmth began to ebb, replaced with chill that leached into his very bones. His body pressed onto the angular rocks. Pain. Numb, tingling cold. His flesh shrieked of it. Broken and battered as he was, the memory of the warm, drifting haze of death seeped away into miserable reality. He lay dying as light fled and darkness dropped on the land. He raised his head, blinking at the ice crusting his lashes. The shivering had gone, a sign that the last of his heat had vanished. Death lay so close. The black form detached, slinking close, circling uneasily.
Wolf!
The big black animal sniffed at his face. Whiskers barely felt as they brushed his numb skin. Little Dancer summoned some hidden reserve and lurched, getting hands and knees under him. His entire body hurt, stinging, aching as he got to all fours. He almost fell, reaching out, bracing himself on the wolf, half expecting the animal to whirl and snap at him. On legs that refused to function, he crawled. Using an angled deadfall, he managed to get to his feet. One step after another, he moved doggedly forward, keeping the huge black animal in sight. Around him, the timber grayed to blackness, as if seen through a hole in the night. He staggered and stumbled on. He walked in a daze, images of the wolf dreamer hanging in his dull mind.
Won't die. Won't.
Elk Charm sat on the uncomfortable hardness of a worn boulder where it stuck out of the hillside. An abrupt ridge hid the far horizon she'd memorized that evening she sat next to Little Dancer and finally coupled with him. Little Dancer's memory suffused her life. She saw his face, the way his smile went from serious to irreverent. Her body tingled with the lines of his caress. Her loins ached for him, knowing his light had flickered and gone dim in the world. Worse, she dared not think of him, how his body must look as it melted out of the snow. She'd seen her father. She knew.
There you are. Mind if I sit down?
Elk Charm shrugged, looking up listlessly. Two Smokes lowered himself, making room for his game leg. He pulled his good knee up, hugging it in the loop of his arms.
Spring has finally made it. I'd come to think we'd spend the rest of our lives staring at each other. Have you noticed how everyone has disappeared over the last couple days? That comes of living with each other for too long in the same shelter. I think what we'll do is when everyone gets back, we'll move over to the west side. I know some wonderful places over there that have a spectacular view. You can see right across the basin for maybe, I don't know, 4 days hard walk to the mountains on the other side. Good grass up there. Lots of sago lily and balsam root for the digging. Yampa's pretty thick, too. We could find one of those valleys cut down through the caprock. Lots of shelters there so people don't have to crowd together. Another winter with those children, I think I'd rather slit my wrists with dull quartzite. There's a good deal of wood, too. Won't be so long a hike to pack it back as we had this year. I know a couple of excellent sheep traps. Used to be buffalo down in the basin, but that's a lot of packing to get the meat back up to the shelters.
Elk Charm swallowed at the lump in her throat, wishing she could talk back. finding no words in the desert of her thoughts.
You know, I'd like to know what you feel. I can't bring him back. Berdash don't have that kind of power, but maybe we could talk. It might make his spirit rest easier.
Her insides wilted and she could feel her chin quivering.
All my life I cared for him. I can't figure. It used to be that I could feel the link between the wolf bundle and Little Dancer. That power feeling, you know?
Elkcharm reached for his hand, feeling the warmth of his skin under her fingers.
It's my fault. I failed both the wolf bundle and Little Dancer. I should have stood that night and run a dart clear through Heavy Beaver. They might have killed me for it, but I could have washed the insult in Heavy Beaver's blood first. Sage Root would have seen that the boy got the wolf bundle. Maybe I could have saved us from all this.
It's not your fault. Two Smokes, you did the best you could. No one can know the future. People just have to do the best they can.
Perhaps. Maybe we can't know the future, but the past is forever. How are you feeling? What's in your heart?
She looked up at him, seeing the lines that had eaten so deeply into his face. A perpetual squint, like that of a man in pain, etched his eyes. These signs, and his graying hair, showed that Two Smokes had passed the threshold to old age. But Rattling Hooves had been born even a year or two before Two Smokes. Life must have treated him poorly. Her wounded heart beat with sympathy for the old Berdash. She reached up to hug him, burying her head in his chest to let tears relieve the hurt for both of them. For a long time, he held her, let her hot tears wet the front of his quill-decorated shirt.
We are a pair, aren't we?
It's just like what happened to my father. I know how my mother felt now. Did we do something wrong? Did we offend some spirit somewhere, or what? All I did was love him.
It wasn't you. He'd been picked for something by spirit power. Remember? I told you that day above White Calf's camp. I didn't know that it would happen this way.
The others still say he's coming back.
I'd like to believe that. Only I trust your dream. I thought I felt him go. And Berdash can do that sometimes, feel a person's soul like that.
I guess I'll always have the memories. Dung and flies, I knew I'd have to share him with the dreams that could have stood that. At least I'd have him part of the time. But dead is forever.
Come on, let me take you back to the shelter. I made some biscuit root bread this morning. It should be about baked. I bet it's steaming and hot and so sweet your teeth will ache to bite into it.
I don't know. Maybe I'll just...
Girl, you haven't eaten for days. Come on. Two Smokes has lived through all the terrible times he has, then he's learned something from it. Food first. Keep your strength.
She let him pull her up. With her helping him over the rough spots, they worked their way along the slope. In places, the mud remained slick and treacherous. As they topped a rise, the camp lay visible. The hangings looked worn and tattered after the winter. The yellowed sandstone of the outcrop looked dingy, as did the trampled trails through the willows and along the slopes.
I'll never be able to come back here.
Look! Someone's coming!
Elkcharm squinted up the hill along the lines of Two Smokes' pointing finger, seeing a person walking with a big black dog.
Looks like he's had a tough trip. Almost staggering as he walks, as it...
And she was running, pounding up the hill, barely aware of the throb in her lungs. She slowed to a stop, lungs exhausted, legs trembling as she looked at him. He smiled weakly. A terrible cut on his cheek had scabbed over. His clothing hung in tatters, muddy and dirty. The huge black dog had become a wolf, staring at her with wary yellow eyes.
I'm back.
And she threw herself into his arms.
Where are you?
Death! All is dying.
The time has come.
Hear their pleas. Hear the last calls of suffering.
Wolfbundle, the time has come.
Perhaps too late.
The hot wind blew down from the northwest, sucking the last remaining moisture from a land that had had no winter. The faint dusting of snow that had fallen at the height of the deep cold had vanished like the memory of a wistful smile from an old man's lips. A man could count the number of rainstorms that had passed this year on one hand, and those had been cloudbursts that scored the earth and filled the drainages with muddy water, only to vanish into the hot air. Where buffalo had once grazed, whirlwinds, said by some to be the unhappy ghosts of the dead, lifted yellow-white dust plumes to the skies and exhausted themselves. Among the buffalo, the old and weak collapsed on the long trek between waterholes. The cows remained gaunt, fetuses aborted from the stress, their fragile carcasses marking the back trail of dusty imprints left by cracked hooves on the sun-baked clay. Behind the dwindling herds, buzzards and ravens followed, waiting their turn. The gorging wolves left red-chewed remains for the coyotes. After the coyotes slunk off with full bellies, the birds got their chance. And when they left, only the rodents could make use of the bleached bone. Not even enough remained for the shining bottleflies to blow. Heavy Beaver stepped out behind where his camp lay sheltered in the lee of a sage-studded bluff. He'd chosen this place just up from the brown waters of the Moon River. Even from where he looked to the west, Heavy Beaver could see the retreating snow line on the high peaks. As usual, no matter how bad the drought in the plains, the mountains had snow. Where snow melted, the plants grew green and the buffalo fat.
This year we come, Anita. With all our young men, we're taking your mountains. I'm the new way. You can't stand before my mother's vision. I'm the new dreamer for all men. I'm the cleanser of pollution.
The time had come. He had no choice. If he and his frustrated warriors didn't take the Anita lands, the people would starve. When a people starved, they came looking for the spirit dreamer who'd led them falsely. Already too many whispered behind their hands that Heavy Beaver's power had begun to slip, to fade into memory like the rain that never fell.
Prepare yourselves, Anita. This year we're coming. We have nothing left to lose.
Elk Charm's calves ached. A stitch burned in the joint of her hip, and every muscle in her lower back and pelvis screamed for relief. But she could not remember being happier. This was indeed a special day. She had gone to dig roots where the snowbanks fed the verdant green slopes and the prize biscuit root that grew there. No more than an hour's worth of driving her hard chokecherry digging stick into the ground had netted an entire packful of roots and greens. She'd stopped to pick some newly sprouted yarrow for seasoning and heard the dough. Purely by luck, the deer had stepped out from where she'd been bedded in the juniper, ears pricked, curious at the disturbance to her morning nap. Without a second thought, Elk Charm's arm went back and she drove a finely fletched dart through the deer's chest. The doe jumped, wheeled, and made no more than 50 paces before her knees went weak and buckled. Reeling on her feet, she'd fallen, struggled to get up, and fallen again. Finally, the head had dropped. Only when Elk Charm could see no movement did she creep closer. By the time she reached the doe, the animal's spirit had passed from the body. Reverently, Elk Charm had said the prayers, singing the spirit to the heavens above. She asked fervently that the deer's soul might run with the wind and dance with the stars, Gratefully, she thanked the doe for the gift of life and what it meant to her family. Then she straightened and lifted a hoof, rolling the animal over.
Not even Hungry Bull could have made a better shot than that.
Remembering the events of the day, she walked in a glow and grinned, ignoring the pain her load caused her. That didn't stop her from worrying about the strain on the pack. She'd sewn the straps herself, using the finest sinew, and most of the leather had been doubled. Still, what she carried had to be almost half her weight. Not even the best packs could take that for long. Besides, she had to get back. The milk in her breasts had begun to ache, in addition to her muscles and bones. Already, she could feel the wetness and smell the musk of leaking milk.
Oh, yeah.
Elk Charm slowed and turned, lifting a hand to shade her eyes. A man trotted briskly down the trail.
Oh, yay! Catch up! This is heavy!
And she started down the rocky path again, using her digging stick to help with balance.
Who is it?
I am Ramshorn, warrior of the Red Hand. And I'm betting the front side of that big pack is Elk Charm, also the Red Hand, and my cousin on top of it all.
Elk Charm bit her lip, knowing full well what he wanted. She'd hoped Bloodbear wouldn't be foolish enough to send someone down. She'd hoped it had all gone away.
Oh yay, Ramshorn. Welcome to the camp of Hungry Bull. You've timed it well. I've got fresh deer in the pack and roots too, albeit a little blood-soaked by luck.
I stopped to look. You'd scuffed up the tracks, but it looked like a neat one-shot kill. How far did you throw from?
Maybe 20 paces. When I opened her up, the dart had cut through the lungs.
Well, if you do that sort of thing all the time, why don't you leave this little dancer of yours and come be my number one wife? The others can step aside for a hunter like that.
And you'd never sleep. All those wives you've displaced to bring me in would slit your throat some night, and mine too, no doubt. If they didn't, someone else would, cousin, because marrying you would be incest.
I could carry something. Maybe those back legs. I see the hocks sticking out the top.
Not worth it. We're almost there.
The trail forked. The less traveled route to the right continued to follow along the caprock. The other split left and dropped down through a crack in the thick sandstone. Elk Charm slowed, placing each foot just so from long practice.
Heard you had another baby. A boy this time.
No, to Hungry Bull's dismay, Little Dancer got another daughter.
I'll bet you heard about that.
No, not Little Dancer. To him, any child is a blessing, a special gift he accepts with thanks. The way most people should consider every sunrise and sunset. For you never know when you'll see the last one.
The thought of the future settled around her heart like a frosty spider web on a winter blue day. Yes, she knew why he'd come. The nagging worry had begun to eat away at the glow of both a perfect kill and the full pack.
This is your shelter?
Next one down. That shelter belongs to Three Toes and Meadowlark.
Grasshopper came charging up the slope, eyes wide as he studied Ramshorn.
What did you get? Who's come?
This is the Red Hand warrior Ramshorn. He's come to see Hungry Bull and the rest of the men.
To get them to go off to war against the short buffalo people? Didn't Bloodbear send someone last year, and Hungry Bull and my father told them they couldn't fight against their relatives and—
Yes, yes, but this is a new year. So go tell your father and the rest that Ramshorn has come. Go on. At least we'll feast him until his belly pops and send him on his way happy and full of good memories.
Grasshopper grinned and bolted back down the slope. Before her shelter, she could see the big black wolf. As always, a shiver shot up her spine.
I could help you with the pack.
Path's better here. We're almost home. That sound grating on your ears is the young one. Little Dancer might be the best father among all the people in the world, but for some reason, his dogs just don't keep the little ones happy.
Ramshorn smiled politely and gave her his hand as she climbed up the fill before the shelter. The big black wolf slunk off the other side of the midden and paused downwind, testing the air guardedly. She lowered the pack and ducked out of the tump line.
Hey, lazy man of mine! Come see what your wife got while you were fooling around with the infants.
I figured it would be a little more like a... Well, you know how a camp gets after it's been lived in. And you've stayed here for how long?
We have a lot of children around here. They need something to do, so they clean up the winter scat and throw them in the drainage where the rains take them away.
Deerhawks!
Bloodbear wants warriors again, Ramshorn.
The Short Buffalo people have already sent scouts up the trails, more than ever before. We've caught some, others get through. They're learning, though. We had 3 women killed and a couple of children. Snap's Horn and some others caught them at a steep place and rolled rocks down from above. The ones that lived were darted and cut up. Their pieces hang from thongs over the old trail up the Clear River.
Seat yourself. It's nicer outside than in. Are you thirsty?
Water would be wonderful. It's a long walk since the last spring.
Oh, up by Monster Rock.
Is that what was pecked there?
Little Dancer nodded, reaching for a buffalo gut bag that hung inside the door flap.
I think it originally showed men throwing darts at the monster, but you can only see that when the light's right. I guess it proves that not even the rocks last forever. How's Whitecalf?
Immortal. I imagine she's no different than when you saw her this last winter. The skinnier she gets, the feebler she gets, the keener her old mind is. Bloodbear stopped there with a war party, and she poked and prodded at him until he left in disgust, muttering that he should have killed her long ago. She just cackles and feeds it to him. The Red Hand love it, and most of the warriors can't wait to make it home and tell the stories.
I don't trust Bloodbear when it comes to his dealings with Whitecalf. I don't suppose with all these short buffalo warriors roaming everywhere that she'd move.
I doubt it. She says they won't bother her. That she'll show them the real meaning of a curse if one tries anything.
It would be best for everyone if the short buffalo left well enough alone and went back to their plains.
Perhaps.
Ramshorn settled himself comfortably as Elk Charm ducked inside. After she rescued the infant from its cradle board, she slipped her shoulder out of the dress and emerged with the infant attached greedily to her right breast.
We'll have to go back for the rest of the roots and the front half of the deer. I put brush over the head so maybe the ravens and magpies won't get the eyes. That's your father's favorite part.
A good kill?
One shot. First thing, I sang for her spirit.
Well, let's get Ramshorn comfortable and make him at home. Then, if you'll show the way, I'll carry the second load.
Meadowlark might even look after this one. Your other daughter didn't get eaten by a bear when I was gone?
She's off at Black Crow's making Cradle Girl miserable. I wonder if that isn't her mother coming out in her.
Elk Charm plucked up her digging stick and poked him until he scrambled away on all fours.
It's good to see people having fun again. The Red Hand worries so much. I think we've forgotten how to laugh.
We don't hear much here on the west side of the mountain. Is it really that bad?
One of the women killed in that raid I told you about. Well, her name was Wet Rain.
So what are you going to tell him?
Little Dancer took a quick look at the sky, gauging the time left until dark.
What I always tell him, it's their war. Until Heavy Beaver comes here, I don't have to face him. And if I get a warning, I'll take us away first.
You're worried about the dream, aren't you?
Little Dancer nodded slowly, like he always did, eyes straying to the huge charcoal-colored wolf that padded quietly beside them, tongue lolling, yellow eyes always alert. He'd chosen life and pain over the soft wonder of death. True to the first man's words, the wolf guardian had saved him from freezing and dragged him to its lair. There, the animal had curled around him, the warmth of life leaching into him like spring rain through uncured moccasins. Nor had the animal abandoned him on the miserable trip to Two Smoke's shelter. He'd hobbled along on his bruised and swollen leg, living off rose hips as they melted out of the drifts, sharing part of Wolf's catch, finally plucking the tops of Biscuit Root and Shooting Star as they peeked through the snow. As he'd come closer to camp, he'd fashioned a crude digging stick from branches snapped off a dead juniper and dug Biscuit Root, consuming the rich, sweet pulp raw. The dreams hadn't plagued him again until it got on toward winter. Then, when the dreams invaded his sleep, Wolf became restless, giving notice that time had come to make the trek to Whitecalf's for the deep cold. And each year he'd gone, spending the frigid nights in deep discussions with the old woman, hearing the stories, talking about the ways of the world, how Monsterbone Springs had almost washed away. The world was changing, and he lived day by day, hoping each wouldn't reach out and snatch him away.
I made my choice that day on the mountain. Wolf Dreamer said he'd give me as much time as he could. That same spring blizzard froze half of Heavy Beaver's war-hungry young men. That loss bought us the time we've had so far. Listen, I made the promise. In the end, it's up to me. I know it, Wolf Dreamer knows it, and you know it. We live one day at a time, remember?
Elkcharm forced herself to smile, jerking her chin in a nod. She stepped close to hug him tightly.
I love you, Dancer. Don't leave me.
The greatest pain in Little Dancer's life came from the fact he could never tell her, I won't. The taste of warm blood in Tanager's mouth gave her strength. Blood, the life that pumped strength through a person's veins. Her blood, her life, feeding her with her own strength. A circle within. She bit her lip hard again. Anything to keep from screaming, from admitting the pain or the reality of what continued to happen to her. Each time she bit down on the inside of her mouth, more blood seeped from her ravaged lip, feeding her strength, keeping her going. She'd closed her eyes long ago, refusing to see what she couldn't help but feel. Eyes could be closed, one small comfort in her situation. Her body continued to feel, and the pain lingered, dull, aching. No longer did the men's entry and movement make a tearing hurt. For the moment, the fluids had eased the discomfort to a burning chafe. Where they'd bitten her, the sting lasted, irritated by their salt, sweaty skin rubbing the wounds.
How long can this continue? Haven't they exhausted themselves?
She felt him rise, cool air drifting over her sweat-dampened chest and belly.
Was he the last? Was he the...
Another body dropped on hers. They'd ceased holding her legs and arms long ago, figuring her resistance had broken. She'd lost count, but there hadn't been that many. Only 7 in the party that had captured her. Only 7, but they'd been young, eager, with that keen look in their eyes. This way, they could hurt back, do to her what they couldn't do to the Red Hand.
I'll live. I swear I'll live and repay them all.
Finally, he lay spent on top of her. He didn't rise. She waited, suffering to breathe under his weight. Through slitted eyes, she saw they had seated themselves. A fatigue had crept into their faces, dulling the eyes, sagging muscular shoulders. Each clutched his weapons, the camp dark, lest a fire bring the Red Hand down upon them. She lay quiet, unable to move, feeling the warrior on her relaxing, drifting off to sleep.
Does he lie like this on his woman at home? Is that his weakness?
She felt the man on top of her start as he was nudged by his leader. The man raised himself, and the toe nudged her. She looked up, seeing him gesture, pointing toward a blanket. The chill of the evening iced the man sweat on her skin. She knew how she'd hurt the next morning. The leader gestured toward his bedding. She waited. Numbly, she crawled to his blanket and pulled herself into a ball, hugging her knees to her wounded breasts, aware of the burning inside. Her captor stood tall, well muscled and poised, the braids of his black hair hanging down over his shoulders. From a pack, he took a thong, gesturing that she extend her legs. She did, and waited. Satisfied, he laid his darts to the side and bent down to tie her. She snatched his darts. He backed away, grabbing futilely at the feathered shaft that stuck out from his lower ribs. Tanager stood, knocking a dart in his atlatl. And drove a dart into the next man on his feet. She gripped the darts, pounding through the trees, head down, as the branches tore at her, lashing her bare skin. The first blind panic drained as she staggered on. They couldn't track her until morning. She slowed, taking note of her surroundings, trotting into a clearing to study the pattern of the star web. Finding her bearings, she pushed onward, climbing a ridge to stare across the jumbled landscape. She picked out Cloud Peak, realizing where she was. Not that far from Bloodbear's camp, if he still remained there during the raids. Whitecalf's would be closer. She turned, locating the valley of the Clear River and changing her direction, staying to the rocks and pine duff where it lay thick under the trees. Her bare feet wouldn't make a track, so long as they didn't bleed too much. In her hands, two darts remained.
You know, if we can't stop the short buffalo people, you're not safe either. I've heard the stories. You're all fleeing from this spirit man, this heavy beaver and his new way. Just because your relatives are among his warriors doesn't mean they won't skewer you. I may not be much of a judge on why humans act like they do, but I bet they'd love the chance to kill people who had the nerve to leave.
Ramshorn, everything you say is true. We don't deny it. But I ask you, as a host to a guest, place yourself in my shelter for a moment. Look out at the world through my eyes. We came here at the bidding of Whitecap. She told us that if we could go no other place, to come to her. We did that. And Bloodbear came with warriors, yourself among them, to kill us.
And I, for one, have apologized for that. You must remember the times.
We do. But many things have happened since then. Rattling Hooves and Elk Charm have come to live among us. We've adopted many of the ways of the Red Hand, but we've become a different thing, a new people. Not Anita, not Short Buffalo. We are us. Even if there aren't very many of us.
And what will you do when Heavy Beaver comes?
Hungry Bull pointed to the west.
We'll go there, to the mountains. Or if not, we'll find a place where the people don't war and we can live by ourselves.
The fish eaters live over there. Would you want to be a fish eater?
Once I would have died rather than eat roots and leaves. Food is food, my friend. So long as it keeps blood and bones strong, the soul can take care of itself.
I agree with Hungry Bull. I don't understand the changes that are occurring. The fact that my children are threatened by this is enough for me. I know Heavy Beaver. I grew up with him. Maybe I could have done something to stop him. Maybe it would have gotten me cursed, too. I don't know. All I know is that I can't keep my family fed and clothed if my foolish husband runs off and gets killed in your war like his heart wants him to do.
Yes, yes, I want to. What can I say? I wish I could drive a dart right through Heavy Beaver. Look what he's done to us. You find troubles everywhere these days, and it's Heavy Beaver at the bottom of it. I don't like the idea of fighting alongside the Red Hand. They killed my father.
And your father killed more than one Red Hand.
That's precisely the point. And at the same time, Rattling Hooves, here we are. What do we call ourselves? We're something new. A new people made of two old ones. Your relatives killed mine and mine yours, and now we're living happily, sharing jokes on work and food. You care for my children when I go out hunting with Black Crow, and I open my camp to you as if you were my sister. No, I think if we get involved, it will only lead to trouble, to bad feelings and hurt and anger among ourselves.
Ramshorn, if we don't want to get involved in this, what will Bloodbear do? Will he come here angry and try and kill us? I don't know, Heavy Beaver, but Bloodbear isn't reasonable either. You never know what he'll do from day to day. Please, you're my cousin. Once you were my father's best friend. Tell me from your heart.
I don't think Bloodbear will come here. At least not until the Red Hand have driven the Short Buffalo people out of the mountains for good. And if we lose, I don't think Bloodbear will be among the people fleeing the mountains. I think he'll die before then.
Then I say we stay out of the insanity. Makes fun, I'm sorry I spoke in the tone I did.
Grief does that. Tomorrow, when you have a chance, would you come cut my hair? I'll share your grief with you.
Rattling Hooves, ever invincible, nodded slowly, lower lip trembling as she averted her eyes.
Little Dancer, do you have anything to add?
I accept what the rest of you do.
We can't go. We can't take the chance of killing our relatives. We can't take the chance of splintering the new family we've become here. If Bloodbear is angered and would retaliate against us, I'd ask you, Ramshorn, as a brave and honorable warrior, to send us word, and we'll leave here, go someplace else. Maybe the Valley of the Warm Winds.
I'll make sure that you hear. And if the Short Buffalo people drive us out, if I live, and if I'm welcome, maybe I'd bring my wives and live with you.
You'd have a place with us. You could bring your family now if you'd like. Our hearts and homes are open to you. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Bloodbear stared up into the night sky. This night, like so many others lately, he couldn't sleep. Instead, he paced around the dark, cold camps of his warriors, stalking the shadows, staring at the darkness, wondering what would come next. The Short Buffalo people had entered the Buffalo Mountain trails in a flood this year. What Heavy Beaver had intended years ago, only now could he do. The strange blizzard that had roared down on the plains 5 years past had wreaked havoc with the Short Buffalo people. Many had frozen, and in the interim, the White Crane and Cut Hair had struck back, seeking to break the power of the weakened Short Buffalo. What Heavy Beaver had so laboriously created had tottered, his alliance of bands almost breaking under the strain. Nevertheless, he'd prevailed and pushed his plains' enemies back. Now, once again, he could turn his attention to the defiant Red Hand of the Mountains and seek to separate them from their rich hunting grounds.
There are so many enemies.
Bloodbear let his vision roam the star web while he thought. Around him, the night lay cool on the land, the air rich with the smell of firs and pines. All the years of wandering had given him a skill almost unequaled by his peers. He could drift like eagle's shadow through the trees. He could steal into their camps at night and kill them one by one, but he couldn't be everywhere with his warriors. What he and his Red Hand could do with cunning and bravery, the Short Buffalo could do with numbers. Something had happened to the Red Hand. Some essential spark had gone from their eyes and hearts. No matter how he exhorted, it seemed that the inner core of resistance that had once been theirs had fled. No matter what tack he tried, from hanging body pieces of the enemy in trails to offering their hearts to the fire, nothing seemed to touch that flagging spirit.
We'll be destroyed, like smoke on the wind. We'll be blown away. Only the rocks will remember the name of the Red Hand.
His war party consisted of 6 men and 2 women, all awaiting the next advance of the enemy up the Clear River Trail. Heavy Beaver had to try to force this way. It made sense, considering that a large party of warriors had tried to scale the twisting, steep trail on the north side. Only a fool wouldn't try a second offensive up the back. While he brooded, his eye was caught by the pale form of the wolf bundle where it rested on its tripod in the center of the clearing. The leather had cracked and peeled. The curious lines drawn so carefully into the hide had faded where they hadn't been abraded away.
Shabby. Just like the hopes of the Red Hand.
Viciously, he slashed at it with the back of his hand, knocking it rolling into the grass. The action had been foolish, he realized, staring owlishly around in the darkness, thankful that the rest of his band remained locked in sleep. He picked it up, replacing it just so on the tripod, checking again to assure himself that no one had seen. He massaged the sudden ache in the stub of his little finger.
Foolish symbol of a dying people. No wonder we can't win a war. Not with this silly thing like the wolf bundle. Now if we had something powerful, like a grizzly skull.
He winced, startled by the sudden pain in his little finger.
Fire Dancer, help me! Help me!
Little Dancer struggled out of the bedding as his stomach lurched. He tried to brace himself against the reeling sensation, the feeling that the world had come apart. Dizzy, he propped himself with one hand. The other clutched his throat.
What is it?
Elk Charm teased an ember to life with shredded bark under. The first flickerings of firelight shot pain through suddenly sensitive eyes.
Little Dancer?
Her arm went around his shoulders, hugging, warm and reassuring against the trembling that possessed him. Not since the day he'd almost frozen had he experienced such a chill, as if the winds of winter blew through his soul.
So cold. Oh, I'm so cold.
You're burning up. Fever. Little Dancer, are you...
No, not fever. Power. Oh, the wolf bundle. Last time I felt like this. The wolf bundle.
Hush, don't talk like that.
It's calling. I heard it. The words burn in my mind. Help me, it said.
No.
He managed to swallow, almost heaving again from the taste of his emptied stomach.
Come on, come back to bed. You need to be under the hides. You'll catch a chill out here. The wise one knows what. Here, get under the cover. We'll talk about it in the morning.
He let her push him back into the bedding. Any strength to resist vanished in his trembling.
Power bundles can die, you know. They can be killed, just like a man. Dead. Cold.
Hush. Sleep now.
Little Dancer blinked, aware that vision had gone fluid like the time he'd opened his eyes underwater and looked up at the shimmering world above. Elk Charm scampered busily about, scraping up his mess, carrying it out into the night to throw it away. Only when she'd returned and crawled in next to him and hugged her night-chilled flesh against his did he try to relax. She spooned herself against him, the firm feel of her flesh reassuring. Little Dancer tried to still his racing heart, looking up at the hangings, startled to see a sliver of the star web where the hides had been pushed aside. The silhouette couldn't be mistaken. Wolf stared at him. Even through the darkness, he could feel those yellow eyes burning into his.
The wolf bundle. It called me.
Whitecalf jerked awake. Her heart raced, the feeling in her tingling limbs the same as if she'd run a hard day's race. A queasiness churned in her stomach. Her head ached as if split with a stone axe. She felt as if she'd been hit in the stomach, and the tingle wouldn't leave. Cold sweat broke out on her ancient skin. She sat up and pulled her robe around her, then hunched over the fire pit, stirring the ashes for a hot coal. When she found one, she placed tinder over it. Extending her fingers, she sought the warmth, only to find it wouldn't ease the chill from her flesh. That cold came from inside her. She looked up at the spiral on the wall.
So, the time's come full round, is that it?
From her pack, she took sage and wet it, throwing it in among the coals. She stood, letting her robe slip from her ancient shoulders. Naked, she stepped into the steamy smoke that billowed from the fire, letting it wash over her, purifying, cleansing her very soul. Sage, the life-giver, seeped into her pores. In the dim light, she looked down at her body, at the flat breasts that hung like flaps. Her belly sagged, the skin loose and wrinkled on her legs and arms. Hollows like sockets had formed where gaunt bones stuck out of her shoulders. Her hair gleamed white where the short braids hung down to her shoulders. What had once been the black glistening mat around her pubis now consisted of scanty wisps of white that she could barely see over the sag of her abdomen.
Oh, you're finally old, Green Willow.
She remembered her first menstruation and how proud she'd been to become a woman. Another year had passed before she could attract Big Fox to bed her. Such things were difficult when a woman had a reputation for being odd, for talking to spirits. Besides which, men had peculiar ideas about their manhood and what sex with a witch might do to their holy penises. She'd made it all the more difficult for them, since she'd had an uncommon beauty. In that year, until Big Fox had taken her, the men had warred with themselves, lust for her full young flesh, battling with their fear of her dreams and the spirit power. In the end, Big Fox, full of pride and virility that not even fear of power could daunt, had bedded her. Even before the others could convince themselves to try her, she'd conceived.
Big Fox.
Then power had come and driven itself into her with more power and vigor than even Big Fox. The same way he'd possessed her body and made it his, so had power possessed her soul. And the soul couldn't be denied like the body. So she'd left, following the trail that led at last to this shelter, learning the ways of power from Sixteeth, until the old man had died and she'd carted him up the slope, sticking his body in a crack in the rock, walling it up to keep the predators out. Her beauty hadn't faded, for when she first discovered Cutfeather spying on her, she found that he'd lost himself in wonder over the secrets of her body. What she couldn't share with Big Fox, all the speculations on spirit power and dreams, she could discuss with Cutfeather. So they'd bedded, and again she'd conceived. Only, unlike Big Fox, Cutfeather had understood when at last she'd had to leave. He'd felt the power of the dream, and knew the delusion that came with coupling.
Cutfeather, you were a balm to my soul.
She stooped and dropped more wet sage into the fire.
Oh, it's nearly come full circle. Oh, look at yourself, White Cat. See what you've become at the end of your long life.
She raised her hands to the spiral, straddling the fire, feeling the heat burn painfully into her thighs. Like a memory, a sexual fire stirred once again, stimulated by the pulsing heat and the purifying sage. Losing herself in the pleasure of it, she stared at the spiral and closed her eyes, seeing it in her mind, circles upon circles, one leading to another, never touching. Life, wondrous life. White Calf swallowed and opened her eyes, losing herself in the spiral again. Then she turned. The girl stared at her, wide-eyed, a terrified look in her eyes. She too stood naked, an atlatl in her hand, a dart knocked and ready to cast. Her body had been used hard, bloody in spots, bruised in others. The lines of her belly looked firm with muscle. Her hips hadn't borne the burden of swelling with a child. Yet her face absorbed all of White Calf's attention. Black, flashing eyes, those of an angry she-cougar, met hers. Behind the terrified fear lay the power look of rage and commitment. Her delicate cheeks accented the straight line of her nose. A high forehead rose over a graceful brow. Her jawline matched the firm chin, although her lower lip had swollen out of proportion.
Come in, child. Come here. Come and warm yourself. You look about all in.
The young woman took a timid step forward, eyes darting about suspiciously.
What are you doing up? Awake at this time of night?
Maybe more than you know is afoot tonight. Maybe I was waiting for you.
The young woman tensed, half-crouched, as if to spring. The wary, haunted look had returned.
Oh, come on. You're in no danger. Power's loose on at night. This night is the end of a lot of things, and the beginning of many more. It's a night of change, where power is shifting. Come. You're not in any shape to run away, so you might as well relax and take refuge for the night.
She reached out, taking the young woman's icy hand. The blood that stained it had come from another. She'd killed in retaliation. The darts she carried belonged to a hunter of the people, and she obviously belonged to the Red Hand. The way of the rape became clear.
Come, stand over the fire. That's it. Just as you saw me.
You're White Calf the Witch?
And who calls me a witch? Ah, Blood Bear, of course. Poor fool.
Why should I stand over your fire?
Because this is a turning of the spiral. And because this might be a turning of the people. Just before you arrived, I stood in the heat, bathed in the steam of the sage, and wondered about life, about all that I've been and done.
She took the reluctant woman and led her, placing her just so over the fire pit, casting wet sage into the flames, the cloud of steam rising in a billowing column.
I'd stared at the spiral, thinking of all that it symbolizes about life coming full circle, and how one thing leads to another, attached yet separate. You see, where you stand now, so once did I stand. As you have the blood of another who wronged you on your hand, so did I. Perhaps it's the way of the spiral, hmm? I mean, that we can't understand the bounty of life until its frailty and suffering is proved to us.
The young woman had opened her eyes, staring at the spiral.
I'm not a witch.
Neither am I. No. You're now the mother of the people, although you don't understand that yet. That's curious. I came here with 6 teeth to stand and cleanse myself like that. Only I came bearing a choke cherry digging stick.
And what did you do with your digging stick, old woman?
It's over there against the wall. From that moment on, it became a walking stick.
War darts won't become a walking stick, even if I were gullible enough to believe you.
No, I suppose not. But power chooses for its needs. When power called me, it wanted the dream. With you, well, the darts speak for themselves.
White Calf stared up into hot eyes, meeting them, feeling her power mingling with that of this indomitable woman.
A dreamer is coming, Tanager.
How do you know my name?
I know a lot of things. Listen to me. A dreamer is coming. He's coming to make peace between the people and the Red Hand. I can't see it all. I don't have the power I wish I did. I never did have, you see? Oh, never mind. I'm talking about myself again. But the Red Hand are yours. I can't tell you what to do with them, but they'll listen to you. You, in turn, must listen to the Dreamer.
I'm not sure for the moment that I want to listen to any man. Not after...
He's not just any man. You wouldn't have made it this far without drawing on something deep inside yourself. Some strength that runs in your very blood.
Perhaps.
Perhaps nothing. This is an age for strength. That doesn't mean it's an age for stupidity, despite what Bloodbear would have anyone believe.
He's a great warrior.
He's a fool.
Oh, I've seen him kill. I've seen the bodies of the dead that he's...
He's driven the wolf bundles to abandon the Red Hand. Why do you think we're falling apart? Why do you think the trouble has come upon us? Why do you think you were raped out there? Why do the people prowl the lands of the Red Hand? Why are the spirals changing?
What are you talking about? The wolf bundle goes everywhere Bloodbear goes.
And how does it look, Tell me, Tanager, what kind of look is in Bloodbear's eyes these days? One of a man at ease with himself? Or a man driven to a desperation he doesn't understand?
He spends most of his time rubbing his little finger and looking worried. But that's because the Short Buffalo people are...
It's because he's about to die.
A warrior hasn't been born who can drive a dart into Bloodbear.
The warrior's been born. That warrior just doesn't know it yet.
What are you talking about?
Just stand there. Let me warm some water and wash these cuts. These bite marks on your breasts worry me the most. If they get full of pus, you'll really regret it.
Tanager watched her warily, some of the trembling gone from her limbs. The goose flesh had eased to reveal reddened, scratched skin. White Calf winced at the pain the girl must be feeling as she cleaned the wounds, but Tanager showed no change of expression on her stoic face, despite what had to be agony.
Like I said, you've got an inner strength. Perhaps that's what I never had. Ah, well, this is an age for heroes.
I still don't understand.
White Calf found a robe and handed it to Tanager, who'd begun to fidget and finally stepped back from the fire, a faint sheen of sweat on her muscular legs and belly.
You don't need to. Not yet. The thing you have to remember is that you've got to trust the Dreamer. You've got to be the strength of the Red Hand. Do you understand?
Trust the Dreamer?
Trust the Dreamer. Tell me, Tanager, are you strong enough? Can you...
The keen tip of Tanager's dart dimpled White Calf's throat. She looked down the shaft into the deadly eyes of the young woman,
I killed two of the crawling maggots that raped me, old woman. Don't tell me of strength. Where I should have been a broken wreck, I killed and got away. And so help me, by the wolf bundle, I'll make them regret it.
That's passion, the need for revenge. Anyone can whip themselves to rage and attempt the impossible. I asked you about strength. Can you do what you have to? Can you rise above yourself? Can you carry the weight and responsibility of the Red Hand on your shoulders? Can you lead them, no matter what it costs you?
I killed, didn't I?
Any damn fool can kill. Can you give all of yourself for your Red Hand? Can you force yourself to look beyond your rage? That's what I'm asking. I'm looking for strength, not another weak fool like Blood Bear.
You call him a weak fool?
He's no better than Heavy Beaver, just less capable. He too spurns the power.
The dart tip withdrew.
I'm surprised. Had it been me on the point of the dart, I'd have thought my life over. Don't you fear, White Calf?
I fear, but not death. I've been waiting for it. I have a lot of questions I want answered, but that's not the issue.
My strength is? Right now, I could kill the world to pay it back for—
That's what worries me. I want to know if you're strong enough to use your wits over your anger. Can you do that?
Wits? Anger? What are you talking about?
If you can't figure that out, then Wise One Above, help us. He'll probably kill the Red Hand.
Tanager simply stared, the hot burning of fury pulsing behind her eyes.
Forget it. There's the stew bowl. You're about to fall over from fatigue. Eat and sleep. And if we have time, we'll discuss it in the morning.